Hello, and welcome to the East Anglian Theatre podcast. Good day, everyone. This is your captain speaking. We are now coming into port where we'll be making a brief sojourn into the world of theatre in East Anglia. Not quite sure why I've gone with a nautical analogy this time. Must still have the Titanic musical on the brain. But yeah, hello everyone, my name is Ray Tempesta and I am the host of this podcast, which sullies the good name of theatre in our region by allowing an idiot like me to unofficially represent it. Now if you've not tuned in before, then well, you're only 39 episodes behind. There's still time to listen to them all. Go on, turn this off, listen to the older ones and report back to me. Right, assuming you've done that and picked up where you left off many hours ago, you'll be familiar with the way the podcast works. As you now know, it's split into three parts, with section one being the part where I bore everyone to death with a bit of the nonsense that I've been up to lately. Section two is the interview, which is, after all, the main draw. And section three is where I do what I can to give a shout out to some of the upcoming shows and auditions happening in our region. Now that's all coming up, of course, but first let me tell you some more rubbish that you don't care about. For instance, the podcast's social media accounts. Now, like any thoroughly modern institution, the East Anglian Theatre Podcast has a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok presence. I'd urge you to like, follow, share or whatever, basically anything that means I don't have to resort to paying to make the podcast grow. There's also a website, eatpod.co.uk, that's eatpod.co.uk. Here you'll find all episodes of the podcast, a page for the reviews that I write, and a form to fill in if you want to tell me how the podcast has changed your life, possibly for the worse. Right, now that's taken care of, let's move on to section one, where even my dogs have abandoned me today, so I really am alone in asking, Ray, what have you been up to theatre-wise lately? Well, the truth is, not a lot. While it would be lovely to think that theatre-related activities could be a full-time job, unfortunately, the reality is much more boring, and lately travel for work has been getting in the way a bit. So I've not been to the theatre for a couple of weeks. Rehearsals for my show with Ratcliffe Players have been continuing though, but there really isn't a great deal to tell you on that front other than, well, it's progressing nicely. We're now moving on to doing full run-throughs and using props and set pieces more now, so it feels a bit more like it's coming together. Now, in case you haven't heard me mention it, the show is called The Last Quiz Night on Earth, and it's a pub quiz within a comedy play, so the audience gets to be involved in the production to a certain degree, as they participate in the quiz that so rudely interrupts our show. I'm playing the Quizmaster, also called Ray, and it's on between the 8th and 10th of June at Ratcliffe Village Hall near Norwich. Tickets for that can be purchased via ratcliffeplayers.co.uk. This period right now does feel like a rather welcome calm before the storm, though, as I do have a very busy few weeks coming up with rehearsals for this production ramping up, and a couple of shows in Norwich and Cromer to see before then. Oh, and a couple of interviews to carry out as well too. So by the time the show opens next month, I'll probably be sporting considerably more grey hairs than ever. Anyway, what have you guys been up to? Anyone seen anything that they want to tell me about? Or is there any upcoming shows that you want me to mention? Feel free to get in touch, of course. That's enough of that. Let's move on to the main feature, the interview. And this time, I'd like to introduce you to two young people based in Suffolk who have been instrumental in creating a brand new musical. Their names are Casey Duval and India Crittenden, and they are the writers of Spotlights the Musical, which is set to hit a couple of stages in East Anglia in the summer. So, without further ado, let's have a chat with them, shall we? Hi there, Casey and India, and thanks very much for joining me. Now, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. So firstly, could you just introduce yourselves?
Yeah, brill. So I'm Casey, I'm one of the writers for Spotlights.
And I'm India, and I'm the other writer for Spotlights.
And obviously, naturally, what follows is that you're here to promote Spotlights, and this is a brand new musical which you've written between you. So what's it all about?
So Spotlights, it's this new pop LGBT musical, which follows this girl who's about to move to drama school. But weeks before, she gets into a car crash with her dad, who sadly passes away. And she goes into drama school and meets these new people who are all so different from her and all different from each other. And it's all about that and development of friendship and self-discovery throughout dealing with those traumas.
And when you sat down to embark upon writing Spotlights, what was your driving force?
I mean, we'd had a very rough workshop version of the show last summer, last August, and we honestly thought that was kind of going to be it. So me and Casey kind of sat down, I think the day we were getting all the set out, we were like, oh, I think we want to do this again. And within the week, I was at Casey's house and we sat for hours reworking, rewriting storylines, introducing new characters, getting rid of old characters. But I think our driving force is that it's a show that hits both of us in very different ways that we're very, very passionate about, and a lot of the different topics that come up in the show. And I think being able to then express something we're so passionate about in a way that we're so passionate about has been our kind of driving force through the very long hours and nights of writing.
And of course, with any new work, it's almost impossible not to use some kind of older works as a sort of a barometer or gauge, you know. So in terms of its style, is there any musicals you can kind of draw a comparison with?
Definitely. So I guess if you're going to try to compare Spotlights to other musicals, it's almost like Dear Evan Hansen meets The Prom meets A Chorus Line. It's got the music inspirations of people like Sondheim with Plastic and Paul all intertwined in there. And then the story is a very contemporary coming of age sort of thing, which follows a lot of new modern musicals these days.
And did you look to some of these sort of modern musicals and obviously the classics as well for inspiration?
I know, I think Casey did, especially with the music, probably more than I did with the script. But I know, yeah, definitely for Casey, there were some big inspirations in there.
Yeah, I think the way that, that in terms of the writing, I really look to like the musical of Mean Girls, for example, because I find that the music in Mean Girls completely represents the characters. And the style of music that they sing and the way that melodies are phrased out, that is completely to do with their personalities, and nothing is there without a reason. And you know exactly who this character is by what they're singing and how they're singing it.
Yeah. Am I right in thinking you recently held auditions for the summer production?
Yes, we have, literally this weekend.
So do you have your cast?
We do have a cast that is going to be announced today.
So how did it all go first? What was the audition process like? What did it involve?
It was a really positive day. We had around 110 auditionees in total from all over the country. Some were obviously self-taped, some were in person. So we held a couple of ensemble kind of workshop style vibe things in the morning that we got to see people kind of sing a little chorus from a song and do a dance, which was nice. And we also got to see what they looked like together. And then the afternoon we held solo audition slots for everyone. And then, yeah, after that came quite a few hours of discussing and who works with who and all that kind of stuff. But I know we all slept well that night knowing we'd got a very, very good girl.
We were overwhelmed anyway with the uptake we had. We were really, really lucky that on TikTok especially, that the social media kind of grew through there, and it kind of went, I think we managed to get about 100k views within a couple of days between all of our different TikToks that we were putting out. And that really sparked a lot of audition interest. And it was really overwhelming at the time, I think.
And have you guys done anything like this before in terms of sort of hosting auditions and things like that? Or is it all completely new?
On this scale, it's definitely new.
Yeah.
I think we've both done smaller scale things. I mean, I musically directed Little Shop of Horrors a couple of months ago now here in Lowestoft. But that was a youth group that wasn't quite on the scale.
Yeah.
So how did you personally enjoy the process?
I really enjoyed it. It was really nice to see. I mean, this might sound almost slightly kind of narcissistic, but it's nice to see so many people passionate about something we'd put so many hours into. And I think we were incredibly lucky with the talent that came through the door. And I know Case will probably be the same. It was also nice to be on the other side of the table.
Yeah,
as well.
And that's kind of what the angle I was getting at, really. I'm just interested to know what's the view like from the other side? Because I've certainly been on the audition side of things and absolutely hated it usually.
It is, or personally for me anyway, I wouldn't even say it's less stressful. It's still very stressful. But you can relax into it a little bit more, I think, because you've got, it's quite often when you go into audition, anyway, from my experience, it's just you and you have to get it right in your own it's just you and there's no one else. Whereas we were really lucky, there was a team of five of us there and then four of us casting. So we got to really collaborate and it was really, really nice.
And just looking at ahead a little bit, what are your plans or hopes for Spotlights beyond? Because obviously you've got this show in August, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So we're taking it to a couple of theatres in East Anglia. And also we've got a one night stint at the Other Palace in London. And then we're hoping to spend a lot of time fundraising and getting money so we can put together a bigger production on the Edinburgh Fringe for a couple of weeks. And we'd like to do a longer London run as well. We've been so lucky to get this one night performance, and it would be nice to spend a little more time there.
Of course, obviously, we need to mention specifically when and where the shows will be staged.
Yeah, so we're currently waiting on one particular theatre for tickets to be released. But we've got the Players Theatre in Lowestoft on the 25th and the 26th of August. You can find that on their website. And then we've also got the Other Palace on the 30th of August. And tickets, I think, between £10 and £18. Between that and that should, yeah, that's when and where.
Yeah. And just moving on to your own histories, how did you both get involved in theatre in the first place?
Who wants to go first?
I can go if you want. I suppose I'm older, I'll go first. Mum put me into the classic, you know, ballet class when I was about three. And then a couple of months later, put me into an audition for a local panto. And I basically haven't stopped since. Was performing and did like GCSE music and all that kind of stuff up until I was 16-ish. And then I got more involved with the directing side, because when I went to college, the high school I just left asked me to go back and direct their production of Les Mis. So yeah, that's kind of where the real interest of directing came from. But theatre has always been part of me.
And yeah, I guess for me, so I came into it quite later in life. I didn't start singing properly, I guess, until I was 13, 14. And that tends to be quite a lot later than people who've been born and bred into it. But I had an incredible singing teacher. And I was one of those people at school who always kind of wanted to, who was really passionate about learning, and I always wanted to do the next big thing. So once I'd started learning to sing and getting into musical theatre and stuff, I was like, wow, I'm really interested in how we go ahead and start, like how the composers put these things together. And that's how I kind of started. I taught myself a lot of my music theory, because I wasn't given the option for like GCSE music and A-level music at school. So I've taught myself a lot of that just because I've been really passionate about it. And writing these musicals is how I've done that.
Yeah, I was interested really in that side of things. What sort of pushed you into the territory of creating your own stuff?
I think for this project, we both kind of just found ourselves in it, didn't we? Basically, somebody we know, Duncan Hoare, had this very basic concept of a story, and he approached you, India, is that right? This and asked you to write the script for a show. And then I didn't get involved later on, because I IMD'd the first workshop, but I didn't do a lot of the writing. I orchestrated the first workshop, which I'll argue has a whole lot more writing than people think. But yeah, so I after we did that, the workshop, we kind of just was like, you know, we're just gonna we may not have loads of experience in this, but we're going to give it a go. And it's working out quite well so far.
We certainly didn't expect to be where we are.
And had you had any experience of writing before you got involved in this, India?
I, during lockdown, actually wrote a three-part kind of drama TV series with a friend of mine that we were really, literally was just a lockdown kind of thing. And we sent it off to a couple of producers and we got some feedback and all that kind of stuff. And then this came along. And I was like, I think I'd rather, I had to kind of pick, do I carry on with that and keep pursuing that, trying to get onto TV? And I thought, oh my God, like it felt impossible. Whereas Spotlights felt slightly less impossible. So I kind of picked Spotlights. But apart from that, apart from the three-parter, not really, no. I think I just hoped and prayed that it would all go to plan.
And we've already sort of touched upon a little bit about influences in terms of other shows, you know, you mentioned like Dear Evan Hansen, but in terms of other inspirations, are there any people or, you know, heroes in theatre that you look up to?
For me, it's definitely Stephen Sondheim. Just the way that man is able to communicate his feelings and characters' feelings and a storyline and through music is absolutely incredible to me. And the way he can take, you know, even in Into the Woods, when he's got those dum 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 dum, that theme, and he just implants that everywhere, because, you know, it's supposed to represent the beans, and everything that is caused by the beans is, there's that melody there somewhere, and it's just, and that absolutely blows my mind.
I think for me, it's, I mean, Sarah Bareilles, the writer of Waitress the musical, is a massive, massive inspiration for me. Yeah, I think that's kind of, she's my big, who I kind of look up to within the industry, definitely.
And in your time in either performing on stage or being involved potentially backstage as well, do you have any favourite shows that you've worked on?
I mean, personally for me, I did Annie in 2010. And I mean, yonks ago, but that still sticks in my mind as one of my, I just love that show. And it was I think that was also the first time where I was like, I want to be involved in this industry somewhere, whether I'm on stage or not. This is where I want to be. So that is probably the biggest love of my life in musical terms.
In terms of my favourite musical, I think it's going to have to be either Miss Saigon or Hunchback of Notre Dame. Just those like incredible, massive scores is something that really like speaks naturally to me.
I was hoping you'd enable me to create a smooth segue into Hunchback of Notre Dame, because I have to, you know, I had to work that in there somehow, but I just wasn't clever to create my own. So I'm really pleased you mentioned that. So how are the rehearsals for Hunchback going?
They're definitely going. You know, we've got an incredible cast, definitely the best cast I've ever worked with in any amateur dramatic show I've been involved with. Well, now all the old ones I'm going to be involved with are going to hear that. It's been able to absolutely plow through the music, and we've almost finished, you know, at least 70% of the show, and I've never felt so confident and happy with a show I've been involved with before. I mean, Hunchback of Notre Dame has been a dream for me since it came out in 2016, the off-Broadway production anyway, and I think just being able to be involved in that was so special to my heart. Yeah, it's sounding incredible.
I was going to say, you're playing it down slightly, saying being involved in it. I mean, you are playing Quasimodo.
I am.
It's quite the role.
I tell you what, it's a massive thing. And I won't lie and say that I have not been very, very nervous about it. But we've got an incredible creative team who have been doing everything they can to make it. It's quite physically exhausting, you know, with the hunch and the voice, the speaking voice that you've got to put on, as well as the incredible tenor singing that Quasimodo has to sing. It's all very physically exhausting, and the creative team have been so amazing in enabling me to be able to do that and making sure everything's being done healthily and I'm okay and making sure I'm taking care of myself.
And just to keep the production team happy on that one, can you just confirm when that's on and where we can get tickets?
Yeah, so once again, that is at the Players Theatre. That is late May, I'm pretty sure. I think it's between the 21st and the 28th off the top of my head.
I was like, surely that should be etched in your memory.
Think so, wouldn't you?
And finally, can you give us a flavour, really, of your hopes and dreams, not necessarily with spotlights, but just for your future careers, perhaps?
I think I'm studying film and television production at university, so I would really, really love to work on a big TV drama, something like Happy Valley or along those kind of lines. That's really where I see myself. But also, obviously, you know, my love for theatre will never die, and I would happily work writing and directing for musicals for the rest of my life. So something in that realm would be nice.
For me, I think, well, I'm currently doing, unlike India, who's managed to bag away onto a creative degree, I'm currently doing a maths degree. Quite far, I guess, from all of my hobbies and everything. I honestly probably do a hell of a lot more music than I do of my degree, which probably isn't, it hasn't worked out well for me at times. But
so, did you choose that degree almost with a practical, sensible head on?
Not even that. So I've got a 2-year-old, and I wasn't really able to travel very far for university because of that. And there's no music course within Norfolk and Suffolk, within 100 miles. So I've kind of just been, I had to do what I've got to, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm researching the relationship between music and maths. And I find that stuff really, really interesting. And I'm really, really happy to be able to integrate that into my degree.
Oh, that just genuinely sound interesting. You've actually made maths sound interesting, which is an achievement. Okay, well, I think that's probably just about everything really there. So thanks very much for your time, and good luck with both shows.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for having us as well.
So there we have it. That was Casey and India, the writers of Spotlights the Musical. Now, if you want to get hold of tickets for this exciting new production, there's a few options for you. They'll be at the Madder Market in Norwich on the 15th and 16th of August, and tickets for that are available via maddermarket.co.uk. They will also be at the Players Theatre in Lowestoft at some stage. I think they mentioned the 25th and 26th of August, but as far as I can tell, tickets for that haven't yet been released. However, they will definitely be at the Other Palace Theatre in London on the 30th of August if you fancy a trip to the Bright Lights. Tickets for that are available via theotherpalace.co.uk. Now, what else is coming up in the region in the next few weeks? Well, we'll start with a few shows in my home county. Firstly, Cromer and Sheringham Operatic and Dramatic Society, or CSODS as they're known, will be opening their production of Evita on the 27th of May. It runs until the 3rd of June at the wonderful Pavilion Theatre in Cromer. Visit csods.uk for more details and tickets, and CSODS is CSODS for the avoidance of doubt. Now, even closer to home for me is Threshold Theatre's production of Young Frankenstein, which is set to open at Norwich Playhouse on the 30th of May and also runs until the 3rd of June. Tickets for this hilarious musical are available via norwichtheatre.org. And also taking on the brilliant Young Frankenstein is Cambridgeshire's Nomads, who will be performing in their home venue at Newmarket King's Theatre from the 23rd to the 27th of May. For more info and tickets, visit newmarketkingstheatre.com. And that, folks, is about all I have time for. As usual, I'll post links for all the shows mentioned at some stage on my social media accounts. Thanks so much for listening to me, Casey and India, ramble on, and tune in next time to hear from festival players in Cambridge. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and go watch some theatre. Bye.